and welcome back to Christmas Clutter. I have a special guest located down under Australia. We haven't been down there in a little bit, but it is Brighton Taylor, who's wrote a wonderful cookbook, the Unofficial Elf Cookbook. I believe that's the full title. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brighton. I got to pull up my notes. Yeah, I got my notes and I failed to pull them up right away. So we've been, I was expecting an Australian accent and I didn't get it. So I'm like, I don't think she's really from Australia, which is fun. So, but that's exciting.
I'm from Vancouver. Yeah.
Vancouver.
I've been here for over 25 years though. So nice. I've had a little bit of the Canadian Christmas and also an Australian Christmas. Yeah. So it's,
Well, I've had someone on Vancouver and Christmas Clatter before, so, and one of my good friends and a fellow podcaster who does Tinsel Tunes, he's my Christmas Kiwi, I call him. He's in New Zealand, so I'm kind of used to these crazy times to record because we get together about once a year to do something. So,
but, nice. It is
nice. So, for those that don't know,
Elf.
Yeah. So Elf, well, before we get to Elf, I gotta say, preparing for this, your food blog is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, for people that don't know, Brighton likes to take themes from movies and books and make recipes out of them. And it's called inliterature.net, and there's so many like books and authors and cool recipes. I was just scrolling through it, thinking, oh, I need to try this. 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 What? One thing I always love is the thing people love to do, listening to them talk about it. What got you into doing literature and movie themed recipes?
Oh, that is a good question. Yeah. Actually, it started with holidays, mm-hmm. But it wasn't Christmas. I've always grown up where my mom always themed everything. So it was Easter in this case, and we were choosing to do Alice in Wonderland. So we were going to do the White Rabbit and so on. And I think I was making the unbirthday cake for Alice in Wonderland to go with it. And I started posting about that. And I realized that I wasn't the only one who loved to theme and put my books and movies and link that with holidays. And this was probably, I think maybe 15 years ago. Uh-huh. So it's sort of been a slow trickle. Always each year there's the holidays, I choose something and connect it with something, a book or a movie. And that's how it started. And you know, you find other people out there who are just like you, and then it snowballs from there.
Yeah. I know exactly what that's like. That's one of the great things about the internet is finding those people that are just like you, so you don't feel like you're the weirdo, you know?
You do. Yeah. You think it's just you, and then you're like, it's so exciting to be able to connect with others. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is. It is. Do you have any like culinary, official schooling in the culinary arts, or are you just one of those that just get in there and see what happens?
I just geek out.
Yeah.
I just love getting into the kitchen, and it comes from a place of curiosity. So, you know, you see a scene and you start wondering like, oh, like I wonder what this would be like and what would this taste like? And it's, I guess what it's always come from is trying to take something that is not real and then bring that into our world so we can actually, I guess, extend our experience with either a book we've read or a movie we've watched. It's really from a place of curiosity, but then over the years, my cooking has definitely improved.
Yeah.
So it's just a time and experience thing now.
Yeah. Well, looking through, in literature, it looks like you might have degrees on the wall for cooking because all that stuff is so well done,
and
put together. So, this is your second Christmas themed cookbook. Last year you had Home Alone, and this year you tackled Elf. Why'd you tackle Elf for? Because that seems like when I think of Elf and food, all I can think of is spaghetti and maple syrup.
So I guess going back to the first cookbook, so the unofficial Home Alone cookbook was, I took everyone through the 90s. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. We got to there's so many ways you can tackle a cookbook that's themed. Mm-hmm. So that was everything from your Pop-Tarts, everything you can recreate at home then. Right. I know you can just go to the shops, but it was like, it was a time capsule. Uh-huh. And then with this one, we wanted to take people, like everyone loves Christmas. So Elf is one of those other family favorites. So I wanted to be able to take people everywhere from the North Pole through to New York and basically follow Buddy on his journey through the characters he's met, the quotes, the scenes, but also just really capture, there's something about Buddy. It's that spreading Christmas cheer. Mm-hmm. And this was a really beautiful way of being able to do that, is to write a cookbook. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, one of the things that always endears people to Buddy is his sweetness all the time. You know, he's just always, in every scene, he's always just as sweet as can be. And except for the time that they had the fake Santa, but, you know. Everybody has their days. And,
that touched the spot. Yes. Yeah.
But, let's take a look, a little bit here at the book. So that way people kind of know, what we're kind of talking about. But, here's the cover, such a beautiful cover. And, this book has a real great feel to it as well. It's a hardback, but it's not like the real rigid. You can lay it open real nice, you know, and, which is big for when you're cooking, because last thing you need to do is fight pages with, you know, flour on your fingers and all that stuff. But yeah. And you have some interesting recipes here. I'd like to get your opinion on a few of them, like this one here. The Big Dance Breakfast Board. Now this just looks like everything I would want for breakfast all in one. So where'd this idea come from here?
So I guess it goes back to where I found my inspiration from the movie. Uh-huh. So one of the things was, there's so many threads I kind of took with this. This is inspired by the North Pole. It is the big dance. And I really wanted to be able to, again, capturing, it was all about spreading Christmas cheer and using this cookbook as a way of doing that. And having a breakfast board means that everyone in your family can get involved. One of my favorite ones, I'm trying to think, is that the one that has the nougat cream? There was, I've got little recipes throughout some of these where it's like, you know, it's very basic, it's very simple, but then there's some that just like amps it up that little bit more. But yeah, so that was trying to capture Christmas, but also a way for everyone to kind of get involved. And yeah, there's something about that scene. I was actually just rewatching the movie the other day and it was like, oh, yes, that scene. It's just, it's the North Pole.
Yeah, it sure is. When you do a recipe or something on a book or movie, how many times do you read through or watch it before you think you have all the ideas you need? Because this thing has like 75 recipes in it, which is outstanding, you know?
Yeah. And it can be quite challenging. But I found Elf was quite easy from that perspective. Mm-hmm. There were so many characters and so many scenes and so many quotes. I watched it many, many times. Yeah. I think as well, not just so much the scenes, but really trying to come back to what the feel of Elf is about. Mm-hmm. Just really making sure, like when I'm creating the recipes, yes, there's some fun, quirky titles and foods that connect up. But really keeping that, like Buddy's essence in all the recipes throughout. So to answer your question, many, many times.
It seems like capturing the kind of the spirit of the character, the scene, may be a little bit more important than being movie accurate. Would that be a correct assessment? Or?
I would say they run in parallel. Okay. So all of the titles and all this, the foods chosen really are based on something very specific to the movie. Mm-hmm. So you can look at a title and if you were to watch the movie, you could link it to something very tangible. In saying that though, when I was creating the recipes, that's where that essence comes in. It was really trying to go, how can we create recipes? So, you know, if someone was to jump in and, you know, choose the big dance breakfast board, why would they want to use this? How can they use this to spread Christmas cheer the way Buddy would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody can see these are actual pages from the book. So you can tell the production of the book is just top notch. So well put together. The photographs are, you know, the resolution is fantastic. The printing is just beautiful.
The team did an amazing job. At the cover. Yeah. It was like, oh yes, they caught it. So it was as much as I did the recipes and came up with all the concepts and the writing and so on. So many people were involved with this. We had an amazing designer. We've got a photography team. I had the editors involved. Like this was teamwork. Yeah. And we were all just very excited to create a cookbook that was based on this theme.
Yeah. Just little things like on this picture, the etch and sketch and the little hammer in the bottom corner, just right there. And it's, you know, and the shiplap, you know, that's on the table is just, it's those little things that really bring it together that you would notice more subconsciously than outright, you know, that just really, really make it. And to be honest, you know, I'm not much of a sales guy, but with this book and another book we'll be talking about in the future along the same lines, for the price you pay for the book and the number of recipes you have and the fun you have just looking through it and trying them out, it's a steal of a deal, you know. it's fun. I'll tell you this, I have a daughter that is she's 11, she'll be 12 at the end of November, and she likes, she's interested in cooking. This book really got her interested in cooking because, you know, she loves Buddy the Elf. She loves Elf, the holidays, and it's so bright and fun. And there's so much stuff that she can tackle in there kind of by herself, but then some stuff that me or her mom needs to help her with. And it's been a real, real delight in that aspect as well. You know,
that's really good.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, when you take something that we really love, and that's all it takes is to spark something.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really nice to see that where people are like, oh, they found something, like they love Buddy the Elf.
Yeah.
And then they're like, suddenly they're in the kitchen. Like that's what teases them in. Yeah. And yeah, there are some really family friendly ones. Yep. Some of them do need making sure there's an adult next to them.
Right.
But there's things like the Elves Four Food Groups fudge. Uh-huh. Super simple. You can make it in the microwave, but it captures who Buddy is, and the North Pole, and just that fun playfulness. But yeah, it can be made in minutes. It's nice and easy, mostly for older kids to make. Or as we were talking about the Big Dance Breakfast, younger kids can, you know, they might not be cooking, but they get to create. You know, all the dishes are there. They get to make their own platter up. And that's where that creativity can be sparked and inspired. So, food can really do quite a bit, for creativity.
Yeah. This is one she's actually really wanting to make because she's in that ramen phase of her life.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, I can eat ramen 24/7 and it doesn't bother me kind of thing. And this is one she's really itching to try. And for those just listening to the podcast, it's Breaking News Report Ramen, which I think is probably the best food name that I've seen. It just, for whatever reason, those four words crack me up when they're strung together like that. But
it's actually from the movie. So you're going to find a few recipes in there that are directly from the movie, while a lot of the other ones are inspired. This one is from that scene where Jovi, she is having ramen, and she's sitting in front of the TV, and suddenly she sees Buddy on TV going through Central Park. So that is capturing this that moment.
So
but this is like tradition. Like I was going to jump back and say, this is like how to do it like properly. So this is like a slow cooked broth, which is, I mean, look, if you wanted to recreate the scene very quickly, yes, you can do instant, but there is something about doing like homemade, letting it simmer for several hours. Like the taste is next level. And then you never really can. This is the warning. You can never really go back to instant food once you actually start cooking and making homemade stuff. It's like, ooh, next level.
Yeah. This one, we told her we're going to wait till she goes on the Christmas break from school. That way she has the time to do it and enjoy it. And, you know, that kind of thing, because it's one of those things we don't want to rush and things. So it also gives her something to look forward to. If you know, if you break it out. But yeah, it's fantastic. When you start creating these recipes, how many iterations you go through before you find the right one? Or
quite a few. Yeah. I think all the recipes I a minimum usually get tested 3 times. Uh-huh. So it really depends on whether I really. Some of the recipes are based on family recipes. Right. So things like gingerbread, you know, those are ones that we've made a gazillion times. So I don't have to tweak it so much. It's more just in terms of quantity. Mm-hmm. It depends on where the concept has come from. So if I'm like, wow, I really want to, if I've got the idea of the flavor, but I'm not actually, if I don't have a baseline, it's going to mm-hmm. take 5-6 more turns to really kind of get it really nailed down.
Yeah. So do you have a official taste tester there in your house, or is it just all on you?
No, I rally the troops around. We had some great fun though, doing this cookbook. This is more for adults, but we did cocktail parties and I've got some, that's the best way because we were really trying to capture Christmas in the cocktails. So there's ones that taste like fruitcake and there's one that has more of a shortbread flavors. And it was really, we just had fun. And I'll be honest, there were some really, to get to some of those were really terrible experiences.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I bet so.
But some of those, like, for example, sticky sidewalks, that is inspired by Christmas flavors. Christmas flavors, childhood flavors as well. Like really trying to tap into the elves' love of candy. Uh-huh. So really trying to make something that tasted, I think that one was the gumdrop one.
Yeah.
One tasted, tasted like gum that was hopefully not stuck on the sidewalk with this case, but fruit and playful.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And then one of the things we've already done, we've already done is fairly simple but very delicious Little Buddy's Chex Mix. I am a Chex Mix fan. I just love it, especially this time of year around the holidays. You know, I'll take it salty. I'll take it sweet. I'll take savory, you know, mix it all up for whatever reason. I just enjoy it.
They're great for movie nights.
Oh, they are. They are. Mm. And this Little Buddy's Chex Mix is a little bit different than ones I've had, but man, it's so good. So good.
Mm.
It really takes minimal effort to put a nice batch together and we really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, so. There's quite a few varieties of recipes in the cookbook. So it is some of these, like, people just want to toss together something easy. You really don't want to be thinking about it, but you still want to theme it.
Yeah.
So if you've got the movie night or you've got that Christmas party, you want something you can toss together and you can tell it's themed, while there's others where you want to be actually more involved with, like, making the recipe. Because you know what the scene is and you're trying to, that is part of the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things I noticed right off the bat, because just looking through it, you can say, you know, I'm not that great of a cook, but my wife is, she really is. And I was like, oh, I can do this and this. And then she's looking through there and she'll find something that's, you know, at a higher level and that piques her interest, you know, to be able to try something different than she has, you know, than she's done before. So. So we have Elf, and for everyone listening and watching, links to Bright's blog and YouTube channel are below, as well as links to the unofficial Elf cookbook where you can pick it up. And also I linked the Home Alone one down there too, in case anybody was interested in completing their Bright and Taylor collection of holiday themed footbooks. That has a good sound to it. The Bright and Taylor collection of holiday themed cookbooks.
So, Christmas collection.
So are there any future Christmas movies rolling around in your mind?
There's always future ones. Like, I don't think my brain stops, but at the moment it is just helping people use these cookbooks to create their own memories. So going on with those links as well, I guess we can also talk about how to use the book, because that was a big part for why I love to create these cookbooks. Uh-huh. They are, I'm like, just tossing in ideas on how you can use the cookbook, not just the recipes, you know, gift baskets and stocking stuffers. So, you know, we were talking about how in literature Sparked was in terms of theming the holidays. You know, for me growing up, mom would do, actually I was going to say, when we're growing up, we still do this. It is the gift baskets that you give for November 1st. It helps set up what the theme is either for a movie night or for, you know, you were talking about, you have all these different Christmas trees that you do. Some people have just one theme that runs through. Maybe someone might go, you know what, we're doing Elf for this year. And being able to have that themed cookbook, and then you pull some recipes in. So, you know, world's best cup of coffee, you make the syrup for that, pop that into the gift basket. You can also use this in terms of making, you know, there's Buddy's spaghetti, you know, you pull the ingredients from that, and pop that together with the book. Again, it works really well either for a gift basket or stocking stuffers.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It, I know if I got a gift basket like that, I'd be ecstatic. For one, I'd laugh, you know, 'cause it's hilarious. And two, I'd be like, this is fantastic, you know, because, you know, so many times around Christmas, people just get junk. I don't want to say junk. They just get stuff, things, you know, but when you do that with the cookbook and you supply the recipe, the ingredients, then you're giving someone, you know, something tangible they can use in the future, but then an experience, you know, that, that they wouldn't otherwise have, you know, and that's such a great idea to be able to gift it. And like I said before, at the price point and all the recipes you get, people, it's a very affordable book, and it's a high quality book, and you could buy several and give them away as gifts and still keep your holidays in budget. It's really, really wonderful. So,
it's a nice way of being able to create sort of like those themed baskets. And I think you're right. Like there's something about building anticipation. It's not, you can tell a gift has been thought through. So it's not just like, oh, here's the one product. You're actually buying something, and it's not because you're buying the book. It's because you're trying to create that memory for your family or for your friends. And you know, when someone gives a gift like this, and you're right, like you can add in, so for example, Buddy's spaghetti, you can add in your bag of your M&Ms and your Pop-Tarts and some chocolate syrup, and you've got a whole gift basket. You know, you're helping, again, it comes back to spreading that Christmas cheer. You know, it's not just a gift. People then get to go home and, you know, they get to create that scene with their friends or their family. So it's, you're also helping create the experience as well. So the joy isn't just in receiving a gift. It's that they also then get to go and then create that Christmas experience that I think sometimes, I'm not sure if you've ever had this, but I know in past years, I've had moments where I'm like, wow, the year has just gone so quickly, and you can lose the Christmas spirit, like, because we're so busy. And, you know, moments like this of being able to create those experiences, doing Buddy's spaghetti and, or doing it before you do your movie night, it kind of helps people come back in and remember what's important, you know, spending time with your friends and family. So I think for me, that was very important. I'm like, how can I help people do that? Because that was, that's one way that when I've lost that spark, it's like, okay, how do we stop being so busy and just create that moment? How do we have that time together? And kind of have that reset and that remembering.
That's something that's core in our DNA. And I think, I mean, I don't want to speak too generally, but I think around the world, that's just something people realize is there's something about sharing a meal together, you know, that just kind of centers you and then opens, you know, it builds relationships. Even if you're just sitting there eating the meal, if you have a good meal together with people, it's just something that, that can't be replaced by anything else. And when you do it themed, you know, with the movie Elf or Home Alone, which are two, you know, Christmas
iconic, movies,
iconic, you know, if people are making top, you know, Mount Rushmore's of Christmas movies, both those will be on there, you know, and, I mean, I got the McAllister house behind me, you know, and so it's like you take those things that people love, those fandoms people love, and then you mix it with a Elf, you know, themed movie night or Elf themed party, you know, to where, Christmas party, then you can, have this whole array of, foods that take people to the movie, and instead of just having the charcuterie board kind of thing out there,
you're creating a memory. You're creating memories with people who matter to you, and you're creating that shared experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so beautiful about when you do take a theme, everyone has their experience with that movie. If you said Elf, people are like, oh, I love that one. Like, there is already, as an individual, something that sparks in us. So then when we're able to create something where we get to share that all together, again, that is creating another special memory. And that's really quite beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to throw this out to you, Bright. I think you should tackle a Christmas story next.
Christmas story?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let the editors know. We're going to add that one to the to the list. Yeah.
Because I love Buddy the Elf, but this is like a real sweet cookbook. I think Christmas Story would be more savory. And so it kind of get you out of all the candy and the sugar and kind of get you into some more, turkey and gravy and duck or goose, so.
Yes.
So, but I don't know how many, just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of any foods that are in there. Well, mashed potatoes are in there, so. Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Be an interesting tackle.
I think anything that's Christmas based, you jump in and you open an entirely different world.
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of take you someplace I didn't tell you, because I got this conundrum I've been talking about with people that listen to Christmas Clatter for a while now. Like I said, I love Chex Mix. And and I've been trying to invent my own kind of Chex Mix, and I've failed miserably at every turn. And I'm trying. I want a Chex Mix that's like a General Tso's chicken that's a hot and like a spicy sweet flavor.
Okay,
like an Oriental. Yep.
Just
off the top of your head, would you have any suggestions of where I should go?
Because that's a good one.
I don't know if you're familiar with Buffalo Wild Wings, where you're at, it's a wing place. They have a sauce that's called Asian Zing, and it's like the General Tso's chicken, sauce. It's sweet with has a little ginger in it, but then it has like red pepper flakes to give it a little heat. And that's what I want. I want that, a little bit of sweet, then followed with some red pepper kind of heat at the end. And I've even tried using that sauce, and I can't quite get it right. I don't think the sauce is made to be mixed with cereal, but.
Oh, wow. You've really thrown me a curveball here.
Yeah,
but the thing that came to mind, I don't know if it's completely connected with what you're looking for. I think in the Home Alone, the unofficial Home Alone cookbook, I feel like I did like fiery noodles. It was inspired by one of the scenes. I've got a feeling that some of those flavors, and it was a snack mix that I made.
Okay.
So we might have to go back after this and go have a flick through that book and see if there's a recipe in there that you can, at least maybe there's a baseline there. Sometimes that's what's so nice about recipes, is you go and you're like, oh, there's something here. Then you go into the kitchen and you create and you go, oh, this worked or this didn't. And you start making iterations.
Yeah.
But that might be a starting point. Well, it might actually be in the unofficial Home Alone cookbook, not the Elf one.
Well, that wouldn't hurt my feelings too much, but I didn't need a good reason to get the Home Alone one, but I got another good reason to get it now. So I really appreciate your time hopping on here and taking time off of your Saturday to be here for those that are watching this. Bright took time out of her Saturday afternoon to join me because of the time difference. And I know over the weekend that's a big ask, take you away from your family and things and stuff.
It's always nice to talk Christmas. We're getting into the Christmas spirit. So I'm like, oh, we get to geek out together. This is good fun.
I know you guys are hitting spring down there in the Southern Hemisphere. Yeah. So things are getting,
we've got some hot days coming up. Yeah. So I'm summer's coming up even faster.
Yeah. And we are starting to cool down here in the States a little bit. This week, the heat came back. So they're like talking about the warmest Halloween on record around here. So
really?
Yeah. And it's not fun. It's supposed to be colder. No,
It is. Yeah. I remember there used to be like, you know, the occasional October where you'd have like a long summer and you're like, oh, but it was not as regular. Yeah. Yeah. Octobers are supposed to be cold. It's supposed to be sweaters going on. Yeah. And yeah. And so by the time you hit November, you definitely should be like, okay, snow should be coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I'm at here in Missouri, October is always dry. And it's like, you want the weather to be cooler so you can enjoy it, because as soon as November hits, it feels like it's going to rain every day, you know? And
yeah, so not the beautiful white. Yeah, fair enough.
I want to encourage everybody to click the links below. Go check out the unofficial Elf cookbook. I know you guys will enjoy it. Go, pick up a copy for your friends and family, and use the heck out of it, because it's a wonderful cookbook. It really is. I'm not just saying that because she came on Christmas Clatter. As you guys know, no one gets on Christmas Clatter unless they really have something that I feel's, worth putting out there for people to check out. Also check out inliterature.net. It's a wonderful food blog, with all kinds of recipes from all kinds of genres of fiction that you guys can want. I saw there was Charles Dickens on there as well. If you're looking for more Christmas themed things, and there's like Agatha Christie, there's some Harry Potter stuff. You know, a lot of people consider Harry Potter Christmas movies because of the Christmas scenes in them. So check out
Grinch.
The Grinch.
I know. Yeah. I did a whole Whoville party a few years ago all the food. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. There's so much to unpack on, in literature. It blew my mind. It really did. And so the link's in the description as well. And also to Bright's YouTube channel too. So you can kind of see where her ideas, are coming from and what she's thinking when she's making her recipes, and get a little bit more of the story on them. And they're very well done, very well shot and edited. And the link to the YouTube channel is there as well. Bright, where else can they catch up with you on the social medias?
Oh, I think nowadays, Instagram. I do share behind the stories, use stories to show behind the scenes. Okay. Pinterest is definitely where I'm spending a lot of time right now. I mean, I get inspired there as well. So especially when you're coming up with ideas for Christmas, that is where you start pulling all your inspiration boards together. So
Pinterest is so underrated, in my opinion.
But it's filled with so many amazing ideas, and definitely you will know what I'm working on next, because that is probably one of the first places I post.
Yeah.
So
nice. The links to Instagram and Pinterest will be in the show notes and description as well. And, man, if you do another cookbook, let me know. I'd love to have you back on to talk about it.
Fabulous. We can geek out over Christmas all over again. Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. If I don't talk to you between now and the holidays, have a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. And have fun decorating your Christmas trees and getting into that Christmas baking. There's like, it's the best time of year. It really is.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And for those out there watching and listening, we really appreciate you joining us and taking the time out of your day to listen to us talk about Elf and cooking and Christmas. Yeah. We really appreciate it. And remember, until I see you again, keep Christmas hope alive every day.